This is Choices with Judy Mario. Thank you for joining us today. Yesterday, we talked about you are more than you think you are and realizing who you are. We looked at behaviors that low self-esteem bring about, things like negativity seeking, being hungry, almost desperate for attention, choosing to be a loner, feeling depressed, having a need to control, and being a perfectionist. Today, we are continuing along that same vein, looking at more of the behaviors that manifest from having low self-esteem. Low self-esteem sometimes manifests itself as pity parties. This type of person thinks, I can't seem to get control over my life, so therefore I am at the mercy of people, circumstances, and conditions that keep me from doing, being, and having what I really want. These people look for something or someone to blame so they don't have to take charge or do something about their situation. My mom used to tell me that people can't let you down unless you are leaning on them. It is up to you to be a confident person. No one else can hurt your feelings, upset you, or make you angry. It is your choice whether or not you become affected by what other people say or do. What you think about what they say or do dictates your reaction. If you want to be a confident person, then you have to change your thoughts. You and only you are responsible for your thoughts and your feelings and your life. Well, when I was visiting one of my friends recently, her sister was also visiting. The sister was there to seek comfort because her husband had left her for her best friend. She dwelled on this day and night and taught nothing else. I felt so sorry for her and tried to console her. She spoke about how she was determined to get him back. It wasn't until the end of my trip 2 weeks later that I learned it had been 7 years since her husband left her. In fact, he had married the other woman 6 years ago. Her chances of getting him back were slim and none. She was just stuck in her pity party and wouldn't move on with her life. It got in the way of her joy, her success, and her ability to establish new relationships. Why is she stuck? Why did she choose to live in the past? It's because she's more comfortable in her familiar discomfort than she would be in a new, unfamiliar situation. The world of dating and meeting someone new is totally unfamiliar to her, so she'd rather wallow around in her grief and self-pity. Unfortunately, her repetitive sad story became very tiresome and very boring to others. Another behavior brought on by low self-esteem is the behavior of expressing criticism. Whenever I hear someone say, "Would you like a little constructive criticism?" I just cringe. I don't believe there is any such thing as constructive criticism. All criticism is destructive. When we criticize another person, it undermines that person. No one wants to hear someone say, "Let me tell you what's wrong with you." That's what criticism does. Telling someone what's wrong with her can add to any feelings of inadequacy or incompetence that she may already have. She may get her feelings hurt, get angry, or have a need to retaliate. None of this is helpful. When a child gets criticized, it causes self-doubt, creates poor self-image, and can even break his or her spirit, causing that person to give up on their dreams, ambitions, and desires. In addition, it teaches her to criticize herself, creating feelings of inferiority, feeling she's not good enough, and she learns to run herself down. When someone offers her a genuine compliment or accolade, she has trouble believing it to be true. Criticism undermines self-esteem and decreases effectiveness. The mother of one of my friends has a tendency to be overly direct and not at all tactful. Whenever the mother is confronted by her criticism of others, she says, "Well, it's better to tell them the truth and let them deal with it." As a consequence of her mother's outspoken criticism, my friend often has the feeling she is, quote, less than, unquote. When I asked her what less than meant to her, she said, "Not good enough, less than my mother expects, less than my sister is, less than I probably could be." I know her mother, and I know she's proud of her. I don't believe this mother ever intended to make her daughter feel insecure, but that's what criticism does, especially if it is constant. If your desire is truly to help someone become better, to have more, or to improve her performance, then say something along the lines of, would you like an idea of how you might do that easier or quicker or better? Or you might say something like, may I suggest how you could improve your performance? Most of us would welcome suggestions and ideas. These are conducive to building self-esteem and confidence. If someone offers you some constructive criticism, why not smile and say in a warm tone of voice, I would welcome any suggestions you have for how I could improve, and I greatly appreciate you keeping any criticism to a minimum. We can improve our confidence by modifying our destructive behaviors. We can accomplish this by making conscious choices to think about ourselves in a more positive manner. We must reprogram the subconscious portion of our minds. This part of our mind has no judging function. It only processes information. It follows our instructions, and it is up to us to instruct it properly in order to create the self-image and self-confidence that we wish. One of the most effective ways to help your subconscious see things differently is the use of affirmations. An affirmation is a statement you make to yourself to affirm something is true, even in the face of all evidence to the contrary. Human thought can only affirm, for even when it denies something, it is actually affirming that denial to be true. So repeating an affirmation leads the mind to a state of consciousness that accepts what it is that you wish to believe. If you wish to be confident, then use the affirmation, I am a confident person. Don't say, I'm nervous or I'm afraid, because then you would be affirming the opposite of what you truly desire, which is to be confident. Write out your affirmation and put it where you'll see it over and over throughout the day. Look at it, read it, think about it, and what it can mean to your life. Do this to ensure positive changes taking place in your consciousness, in your attitude, and in your environment. Actually, I believe that an affirmation is a statement that reminds us of some truth about ourselves that we already know deep down inside, and we just need to be reminded. But don't expect this to be easy. Your subconscious has had absolute years of programming to get it to perform the way it does at this time. You aren't going to undo all of that overnight. If you want to be confident and successful, and you are willing to do the work, it will happen. You are listening to Choices with Judy Morio. You can learn more about me and the products I offer, which can help you make your life even more successful, at www.judymorio.com. We are talking about behaviors that bring about low self-esteem. And another, that low self-esteem esteem brings about. One works with the other. You have the behavior, and it causes you to have low self-esteem, and if you have low self-esteem, then you have these behaviors. One of those is to criticize ourselves. Stop talking about your negative traits. The more you concentrate on them, the more they hang on. When we put our attention to things that are good about ourselves, then those things multiply in our lives. Instead of criticizing, look for things you like about yourself. If you have actual limitations that you can't do anything about, then you need to accept them. The things most of us complain about are the things we can do something about, if only we would. If you feel you are too short or too tall, there's nothing you can do about that. You might as well learn to look at the advantages of being short or tall. I saw an interview with Michael J. Fox on television early in his career, and the interviewer asked Michael how he felt about being so short, because Michael is just 5'4" tall. And Michael became very animated and shared how he's always seen his thighs as an advantage. Now, most of us know someone with a Napoleonic complex or feeling of inadequacy directly related to being short. Those people usually try to compensate by driving big cars, having big desks, or acting just plain nasty. That one man I know used to have his desk put up on little stilts so that he would sit up higher than the people that had to sit and talk to him. It supposedly gave him more confidence. But instead, Michael Fox, Michael J. Fox, is proud of his height and shared how much he enjoys being smaller. In fact, he even said that when he was younger, his family got locked out of the house, and he was the one who could squeeze through the basement window to let everyone in. He has embraced a characteristic over which he has no control. If you feel you're too heavy or too thin, you can do something about that. If you don't like the color of your skin or the texture of your hair, that's just too bad. You'd be smart to realize the advantages you have being the way you are. If you don't like the shape of your eyebrows, the color of your hair, or even the size of your breasts, well, there's no reason not to change those into what you want. If your body isn't shaped the way you want it, change your diet or go to the gym. If you don't make enough money to have a gym membership, walk around the block, go to the YWCA. You could move into an apartment or a condominium complex that has a gym. You could get a job with a company that has a gym. Or you could go online to find all of the ways you can exercise that don't cost a dime. What we need to do is learn to concentrate on what we can do, not what we can't. If there is something you can change to make you feel better about yourself, then for goodness sakes, change it. Don't whine about it. People don't want to be around someone who whines and complains all the time. Most of the things we complain about are things other people wouldn't have even noticed until we brought them to their attention. How can you be self-confident when you keep focusing on what's wrong with you? The image you have of yourself influences all of your experiences. Somewhere along the line, you may have come to believe you are not good enough to be the person you want to be or have the things you want. Somehow, your attitudes, feelings, possessions, and what you do have gotten all mixed up with who you are. You may feel if you don't do something exceptionally well, you can't be someone exceptionally good. When you feel you are competent or above average at what you do, this reinforces the feeling you are someone of value. The more you accomplish, the better you feel about yourself. At the same time, the quality of our relationships can affect our self-confidence. Many of us base our self-esteem on whether or not we are accepted and loved by other people. Do they find me physically attractive? Do they think I am smart? Do they like my personality? Do they think I'm funny? Do they want to be with me? Before you can expect anyone else to accept you, you must first accept yourself. The more you like yourself, the more confident you will be. That will give you a more positive outlook and a more positive attitude. In turn, you'll be healthier and happier. When you are healthy and happy, you are more attractive to other people. They find you to be smart, clever, and humorous, and they want to be with you. You can't give anything to anyone else that you don't have to give. Everything you do to raise your own level of self-love will improve the quality of all of your relationships. It's time to start accepting yourself. Thank you for joining me. This is Judy Mario as we talk about choices and how you can make better choices in your life. Listeners, I want you to know that I want to talk about what you want to hear about. So feel free to email me, judy@judymario.com, or give me a call on area code 702-896-2228. That's 702-896-2228. Your behavior is consistent with your thoughts. Are you aware of that? Your behavior is consistent with your thoughts. You are who you are right now because of your past thoughts about yourself. You can deliberately become who you want to be by changing your thoughts. We change our thoughts by changing our mental pictures. Put a picture in your mind of you at your very best. Clearly visualize how you would stand, walk, talk, dress, and behave if you could be who and what you really want to be. Visualize yourself as someone people notice, want to get to know, want to please, and with whom they want to enjoy either a personal or a professional relationship. Hold that picture in your mind and start to act as if you already are that person. Stand the way that person would stand, walk and talk the way that person would walk and talk, dress and behave in the same manner ideal picture in your mind. See yourself as having the attributes and qualities of your ideal self. Live them as if you have them. Quit being and seeing whatever you think you are now and start being and seeing only what you want to be. And guess what? By assuming the role you wish to become, one day you'll realize you really are that person. Confidence comes when we determine that we are responsible for ourselves, when we are able to stand on our own two feet, make our own decisions, and deal with the consequences of our own behaviors and choices. Don't listen to anyone who tries to make you believe that someone else is superior, more intelligent, or able to make better decisions than you. If you make your own decisions, you will deal with the consequences of your decisions. But if you let others make your decisions, guess what? You still have to deal with the consequences of the decisions. But they will be based on someone else's choices, not on yours. Quite frankly, I'd rather make my own choices and live with the consequences of my own decisions. One thing you should remember is this. Free advice is usually worth what you pay for it. Did you get that? Free advice is usually worth what you pay for it. In other words, nothing. There are a lot of people willing to give you some free advice. They want to tell you what you could do, should do, or what they would do if they were you. But they aren't you. They don't feel your feelings, they can't solve your problems, or live your life. Only you can do that. Whenever you have a decision to make, research the situation and your options. Get all the information you can from reliable sources before you make a decision. Then make sure the ultimate decision is yours. And listen to your inner voice. Your inner voice usually knows what's best. If you will take the time to realistically look at each problem, challenge, or situation and ask yourself, what one thing can I do now to make this better or to move in the direction of a solution? You will soon meet your life challenges with self-assurance and confidence. There is a direct correlation between our achievement in life and the confidence we have in ourselves. We perform as well as we believe we will. Whenever we feel good about ourselves and are doing well, whether in our relationships or our careers, we are demonstrating our self-confidence. Whenever we allow the opinions of others to influence our opinion of ourselves, we give others power over us, and we base our self-image on false ideas and concepts. Many of us are still allowing the opinions of others and the opinions that they had years and years ago to affect our reality today. Give those up. The clearer you are about who you are and the person you want to become, the more you will be able to do the things you want to do and have the things you want to have. You know in your heart you can either accept things as they are or take the responsibility to change those things. You will be happier if you feel you have control over your own circumstances. Don't be a victim who sits around stuck in fear and bad habits just waiting for your luck to change, believing you're always in the wrong place at the wrong time, or even thinking that you must have to wait for the planets to align in order to get what you want. Work to be an independent person who does important things. When we are constantly trying to be what others want us to be and do what they want us to do, we lose ourselves. Instead, choose to step out of your comfort zone. Set a goal and make a plan. Make a plan to do something different or bigger. Take a risk and take action towards your goal. We must develop our inner strength in order to express our individuality. Set high personal standards for yourself and for your work. Put more time and effort into what you do. Be the best at what you do. My business partner and I had a consulting job on a riverboat casino. And one night as we were walking through the casino observing the customer service, we noticed that one of the blackjack tables had approximately 10 customers lined up waiting for every chair. These customers were waiting for a turn to play at this particular table, while there were a bunch of other tables that were completely empty except for the dealer. We pushed our way up to where we could see the dealer. The dealer, well, Buster, was phenomenal. He was very professional dealing the cards, and at the same time, he was extremely entertaining and very, very funny. He was so different than all the other dealers we'd ever seen. He was unique. He seemed to love his job. And certainly, if I was going to play blackjack, I'd want to be at Buster's table rather than at the table of another dealer who had no personality and basically looked like they'd been weaned on a pickle. Night after night, we walked through the casino to check the service, and every night it was the same. People would wait to play at Buster's table rather than play at a table with a dealer who was not fun or entertaining. You'd think the other dealers would figure it out, wouldn't you? I mean, dealers work predominantly for tips. Wouldn't you think that if the people were having a great time, they'd tip bigger, they'd tip more? And if you wanted to make great money while you're at work, doesn't it seem like you'd want to help the customer to have a great time? But very few people take the risk and put that kind of personality into doing their job. And I'm sure it made Buster have a better time than if he just went to work and stood there, blasé, dealing the cards and not having the fun he was having. You can find ways to express your uniqueness. When you're able to express your uniqueness, you're going to feel a lot more complete. Learn to accept yourself for who you are and focus on what you want to become. There's no one else exactly like you. You are one very special individual who was created to be who you are, doing the best that you can each day to get the best results life has to offer. Learn to love yourself with all your strengths and all your weaknesses. And remember, weaknesses provide you with opportunities for growth. Respect yourself. Your primary responsibility is your own physical and emotional well-being. When you are true to yourself and learn to take care of you, your self-respect will grow. We each have so much more to offer the world than to just be a shadow of ourselves. Give up old hurts and old scars. Give up negative thinking. Keep forgiving yourself for any mistakes you have made. Congratulate yourself for taking risks. Give up your negative self-image. It will keep you from achieving the success you want and deserve. Many of us undermine our confidence by trying to earn the approval of others. For some reason, we seem to think if we can get the approval of those around us, things will be better or others will take care of us. The truth is, no one but you is going to take care of you. You need to become very, very clear about that. No one but you is going to take care of you. No matter how much someone else loves you or you love that person, you still need to take care of yourself. Until you learn how to rely on yourself, you will have to depend on your ability to influence others to fulfill your needs. That will leave you at the mercy of those that you're dependent upon. You'll never be able to have or to do more than you can convince them to allow you to have or do. You owe it to yourself to learn to depend on yourself, to meet your own wants, needs, and expectations. This doesn't mean you have to be alone. It doesn't mean you have to be alone at all. It means you need to know that if and when you are alone, you are still more than enough. You know who you are and what your values are. You let your values guide your life and your decisions. You aren't going through this life just to be a people pleaser. Overcoming dependency isn't easy. That's why so many people are stuck in codependent relationships. When you are confident you can be yourself, whether you're alone or whether you're with someone else, or if you're in a group of people, there are things you can do to make the transition to independence less difficult. The first is to stop demanding perfection from yourself. When you do your best is good enough. Realize that in order to do something well, we usually have to do it poorly at first. Liberace had to learn to play the piano. He certainly didn't play it on the first day as well as he did when I saw him performing on the Las Vegas Strip. Venus and Serena Williams weren't professional tennis players the day they started. They first had to learn how to hit the ball. You can't expect to do something with perfection the first time you try. The key is to keep trying until you become proficient. And even then, you will still want to practice and improve. Although Michelle Wee is a professional golfer, she is still perfecting her skills every day. And when my friend Charlotte was learning to dance, she fell down many times, making her very frustrated and discouraged. Her dance instructor told her, "Don't worry about it. You must fall down 100 times before you are a professional dancer." So she picked herself up, kept trying, and kept practicing. It wasn't long before she was a dancer who worked professionally in Las Vegas production shows. How many falls would it have taken before you gave up? When we don't do something well at first, many of us just quit, instead of keeping on until we are proficient at doing it. When we don't get recognition from others or rewards for making the attempt, when we get criticism instead, we may be embarrassed and think we look stupid or even worse, but we are stupid, it's just an excuse for giving up. Learn to reward yourself when you've made an effort toward learning something new or doing something you've never done before. Reward yourself, even if you didn't do it very well. Reward yourself for having the guts to get out there and try. Take the action. That's what's important. My dad was a salesman, and one day when he dropped his appointment book on the floor, I saw he had gold stars stuck in it. And I asked him, "Daddy, what are those gold stars all about?" And he said, "Well, when I have a good day, I give myself a gold star. And when I have a day that's not so good, I give myself a gold star just for trying. And when I have a great day, I put in a lot of gold stars." And you know, it was a wonderful lesson I learned from my dad. Even back then, even though he didn't have a name for it, it was something that you and I know today as a technique called anchoring. When you anchor something, you're holding it in place. Just as a ship's anchor keeps it from drifting with the ever-present currents and tides, personal anchoring keeps you from drifting off your course. Every time my dad stuck a gold star on a page, he was telling himself, "I'm okay." I was 16 when I got my first job, and I started the practice of giving myself stars just like my dad. I've been doing it ever since. Today, there are lots of motivational stickers that you can buy. They say things like, "Way to go, you're number one, nice job, awesome, excellent, hooray, and you're a superstar." So buy some stickers for yourself. That's your homework for today. Buy some stickers for yourself. And when you achieve one of your goals, when you take positive actions, or even when you just get through a rough day, put a sticker in your daily diary or on your goal achievement journal, and you'll be anchoring in your own self-esteem. You can do things that make your heart sing. You can learn to depend upon yourself for your own success and your own happiness. You are one of a kind, uniquely yourself, unlike anyone else. Realize who you are, because you are more than enough. Thank you for joining me today. This is Judy Mario. I want you to understand that you can always make your choices better. You can make better choices for your life every single day. There are no two trees alike, no two clouds, no two snowflakes, no two blades of grass, no two grains of sand are exactly alike, and there's no two of you, even if you are an identical twin. You are the only you that there is. You are more than enough. And you are more than you think you are. Be in touch with me, Judy@JudyMario.com, and let me know the type of subjects that you would like to hear. It's been my pleasure to be with you here today. I hope you'll listen in again tomorrow as we talk about affirmations. We're going to talk about exploring the possibilities, what we can do with affirmations, and how we can empower ourselves through the power of the mind. And remember, without leaps of imagination or dreaming, we lose the excitement of possibilities. Dreaming, after all, is a form of planning. And that's what we're going to do tomorrow. We're going to start planning for an even better future than we've ever had.